How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
Okay, here we go. The value of understanding. That's our subject. And how to get it. The value of understanding. Now, let's take a couple look at Scripture, and then I want to say some pertinent remarks and then take you right into how to get understanding. In the book of Job, the question is asked, but where shall wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? Now watch this, because man knows not the price thereof. Man doesn't know the value, the cost, the price of understanding. Now watch this. And neither is it even found in the land of the living. If you're going to get understanding, you're not going to get it in the land of the living. Let me see if I can explain why. This is the planet upon which we live. And right now, there are 6.6 billion people on this planet. A record number. Neat things I have on my computer is I have a running count. Every time somebody is born in the world and somebody dies, my computer tells me. So I keep a running tab. Every day I stare at that little number and watch how the birth rate increases over the death rate on the planet. If you want understanding, and we were able to zoom in here on any city, any country, any home, any business place, or talk to any person, they do not have what you need. They can't tell you. They don't understand. They don't have... Well, think about this for a moment. If you go to your peers to get what your peers have got, that's precisely what you get. You get to the extent of what your peers have, that's what you get. So understanding is not known. Man does not know the value of it. Price it. And neither is it found in the land of the living. Now watch here. But God understands the way thereof. And He knows the place thereof. Or He looked unto the ends of the earth and seeth. He looked to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven. Now I slipped this verse in. It's just part of this text, but I want you to make the wait for the winds. You know that this text was written over 4,000 years ago. It's one of the oldest books in the Bible. It's probably 5,000 years old. And it wasn't until the 16th century that Galileo discovered that air had weight. So he looked under the to the ends of the earth, and he sees under the whole heaven. And he makes a weight for the winds, and he weighs the waters by measure. Think you could figure out? God has a weight of every ocean, lake, stream. And he did see it. And he declared it. And he prepared it. Yeah, he searched it out. And unto men he said, behold, fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. And last Sunday morning, we learned. We spent most of our time on that one phrase. I gave you four biblical illustrations. The person who is the proof that you have understanding is that you depart from evil. I went through the text like, he that committeth adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He that does it destroys his own soul. A reproach shall he get that shall not be wiped away. He shall be held with the cords of his own sin and the bonds of his own iniquities. In the greatness of his folly shall he go astray. The problem is, there is a humanism idea, and I'll show it to you in a moment. What I want you to get first of us is that you have a spirit. And the inspiration of the Almighty intends to give you understanding in your spirit, the function of the spirit. But here's the problem. A man that is in honor, that is a man that is in the honorable position of being mankind. But look at this, but he understands not, is like the beasts that perish. Don't miss this. Mankind is not an animal. Never has been. Never came from it. And people who teach you that are people who have no understanding. How bad, how lacking in understanding are those that think men came from monkeys or the evolutionary thing? How lacking are they? Let me show you how lacking they are. They are the equivalent of a person who has this book in his hand and says, there is no bookmaker. The person who can look at design and say there's no designer is a mental case. And they have become the primary educators, even in the sophisticated halls of academia in America. The difference, one of the differences, between mankind and animal is enunciated in this verse. Man was made to have understanding. And a man without understanding is like the beast. There is no difference between the beasts of the field and a man who lacks understanding. They, the beasts, and we love the beasts, by the way. We love the beasts of the field. And it's great to understand why did God create so many beasts of the field and fowls of the air and fishes of the sea and insects and all those little vermin and all that and all that kind of why did he? The Bible tells us why. Because through them he's teaching us certain things. And they bring such enhancement to. But you see, they don't understand. They are ruled by the law of instinct. Beavers build dams. They cannot do otherwise. The salmon crosses the ocean to its original birthplace and swims upstream to lay his eggs. The bee, the elephant, the whale, pretty neat lately in the news. Got a lot of breasts this week. And the whale get a lot of breasts this week. Some whales are 6,000 pounds when they're born. And they gain weight at the rate of 300 pounds a day. They have a heart the size of an elephant, some of them. And yet their lungs are smaller than the lungs of a 250-pound man. But they don't understand. God, I'm so tempted. I could get so sidetracked here. Talk about the bees. And that little, what's that little bird that can hover? What's it called? Oh, hummingbird. His wings flaps faster than the prop of an airplane can turn. But they don't have understanding. Fish don't have understanding. Birds have marvelous intuitive built-in guidance systems, but they don't have an understanding. They just do what birds do. Two primary differences between mankind and animals. One, mankind is supposed to have understanding. And number two, self-control. Show me a man who's in the honorable state of mankind. If he doesn't have understanding, he's like the beast. Doesn't know what the story is, doesn't know what's going on, doesn't comprehend. Ruled by glands and whims of which anyone could be the originator. You see, that's why understanding has to come from some source higher, smarter, wiser than man. Oh, it's true. It's true that a man of understanding can help you get some understanding if he's got it. But understanding cannot be found in the land of the living. Neither does man know the price thereof. But God knows it. And there is a spirit in man. That's what makes you different. And the inspiration of the Almighty gives understanding. That's why you need to know you see, the spirit of man goes upward and the spirit of the beast that goes downward to the earth. When the beast dies, it just goes back to the earth from whence he came. When a man dies, his body goes back to the earth from whence it came. But his spirit goes upward from whence it came, the one who is called the Father of Spirits. That's why when Jesus taught us to pray, Our Father which art in heaven, this was no poetic device. This was no analogical instruction. It was a literal opening to talk to your Father. And he's arranged certain biological functions, and the man and woman got together as a baby coming. But that was just born of flesh, it's flesh. But it's God that put the you inside the baby. Now the man that doesn't have understanding thinks of himself as an animal. He sees no accountability to God. He doesn't perceive the difference in value between mankind and animal kind. So, our subject today is how to get understanding. I was going to tease you a little bit here, but maybe I'll spend, let me see. Anybody want to venture some reasons why you think man does not have understanding when God intends him to have? Anybody? Think of any reasons? Yeah, there's one. Sin prevents understanding. Why? Blinds your eyes so you can't see. Watch this now. Because this is kind of a critical one. Morality determines philosophy. You see, if a person is living immorally, they got to develop a philosophy that accommodates their immorality. So they begin with, are you ready? There is no God. There is no hell. Because you see, if he conceded to the fact that there is heaven, hell, God, and realities, he'd have to quit the adultery, he'd have to quit fornicating, he'd have to quit sin. So because of his sin, he commits intellectual suicide and rejects understanding. That was a good one, Mark. Certainly. Pride. Because man thinks of himself as the ultimate. That's what pride is. Pride doesn't make place for a higher being. That's why a man with pride will put his ideas above the ideas of God. How ridiculous is that? How ridiculous for the designed, the creation, to assume himself wiser than the creator. Yeah, pride does that. Good one. Yeah. Iniquity that brings up great. Is that Will said that? Good to you, Will. Iniquity. Those who've been in the teaching know how it places man at the place of sovereignty. For like Satan was perfect in all his ways until iniquity was found in him. And he said, I will exalt myself. I'll be like the Most High God. Good one. All right. There's another good one. Satan himself. The enemy. There's an enemy of God whose only way to get back at God is to get at God's creation. So, and listen to what Scripture says. The God of this world hath blinded their eyes, lest the glorious light of the gospel should. Yeah? Good one. You know, amusements, distractions, peer pressure. Oh. There's 1,000 reasons why man doesn't have understanding. Well, what we want to learn today is the answer on how to get it. Now, we're on page 3 of your teaching notes. I think is where we are. Is that right? I should have probably created a new teaching note instead of squeezing this in. So, here we go. You ready to go? How does a person get understanding? Number one, you get it from God's statutes. And when I use the word judgments, I actually mean the word adjudication. Now, there's some interesting things about this passage. For God says, behold, I have taught you. Remember, understanding comes from God. I've taught you statutes and judgment. Moses, even as the Lord commanded me to give them to you, so you could possess the land. So keep them and do them. Now watch the scripture. Watch the scripture. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear your opinions. And when they hear your opinions, look at this now. Surely they will say, this great nation is a wise and understanding people. All right, here's the story. We got the nations of the world. We got the sin of Adam, the fall of mankind, and everybody's doing what's right in his own eyes. We've got chaos all over the earth. God says, I need a nation that I will teach so that they can teach the other nations. So he chose Israel. Now, the intention of God was, I'm going to instruct Israel in such a way, and they will be so smart, they will be so healthy, and they will be so wise that all the other nations will go, wow, listen to them. And because of Israel, other nations will turn to the source of Israel's wisdom and understanding, which is God. So God's intentions was that all the nations of the world, no ethnos would be left out, but they would come to know the most important thing on this planet, the knowledge of the holy, wisdom and understanding of God. So Moses is saying, watch this now. God is giving you his stuff, his opinions. That's what statutes are. They are legal opinions. They are judgments. They are decisions. They are adjudications. They are coming to you from God. Your opinions will be like nobody else on the earth. And Moses says, God has given them to me to give to you. And watch this. Because as you do two things with them, keep them and do them. It's not enough to keep them without doing them. Everybody got that? Keep them and doing them is part of your wisdom and your understanding. And every nation will see how smart you are. Now, listen to me closely. America was such a country. For 200 years, this country was founded by believers in God. Let me make it clearer than that. It was founded by believers in Jesus Christ. And the wisdom that was given to our founding fathers, well, these documents and their writings are still today. Why? Because we were a wise and understanding people at one time. If we continue to elect fools and crooks, did you hear what I said? We will be like other nations. When we have a Supreme Court which has started, as this one has, to include the laws of Sweden and the constitutions of other nations of Europe in their decision-making process and the adjudication of right and wrong in America, we are going to become like those other nations. And the movement in America right now is to turn America into another nation likened unto Western Europe. Western Europe. Western Europe was once the fountain of evangelism and missions and Bibles around the world. And now, it has a crusty semblance of buildings that are called sacred. But at its heart, it is pagan. I have walked the streets of Paris, Rome, many other cities, Western Europe. And I look around and I realize what I'm looking at. Dead orthodoxy. Because the people have forsaken God. You'll get understanding when you go to somebody higher than other people or cultures to get it. It comes from the opinions of God. My beloved, I've got this. I don't know what you... I don't impute some kind of... You know, like the leather is just leather. And the paper is just paper. But let me tell you something. This is the stuff right here. And to any sincere seeker of understanding, oh my goodness. His daily delight is simply to flip its pages and find the path and follow it. Oh, if you wend your way through the book of Ecclesiastes, you'll understand life. You won't understand life from the party crowd, the banqueters, the revelers. They're just beasts trying to have a good time. Having a good feed, having a good drink, having a good moving their glands. Stop. If you want to get understanding, you need to go here. I talk to fools every day. This is not a matter of disrespect. This is a matter of observation. Because I happen to believe that fools, once a fool, not always a fool. Otherwise, I'd sure be in trouble. Yeah. I don't know how many people have ever said this to me. I said, yeah. Guy says, I don't believe the Bible. I said, oh, really? So at that point, I usually took my Bible out of my little Bible out of my vest pocket, and I would turn to it. Zechariah. I'd say, well, what was it in the book of Zechariah you disagree with? He says, the book of what? You're dealing with a fool. I've even got to the place where I turn the book, hey. You know about the Gospel of Matthew? Yeah, I know Matthew, Mark, and John. Okay, well, let's go to John for a moment. You show me what's wrong, what you disagree with in the book of John. He doesn't know one end of it from the other. And yet he's making this profound declaration that he doesn't believe this. He hadn't even read it. There's a favorite saying of mine from years ago. I repeat it at the risk of extreme redundancy. And I hope it's not disgusting to you to hear some things over and over again. Right after I became a Christian, I made a major decision. Here it is. I would rather have a knowledge of the Bible without an education than an education without a knowledge of the Bible. Because let me tell you something. I've talked to lots of PhD guys, and they don't have understanding. All they entered was an academic world where somebody else's beliefs, stupidities or otherwise, were passed on to them, and they got a diploma that says they could regurgitate what they've been told. Don't make any mistake about it, beloved. If you want understanding, you'll get it from God's statutes and his adjudications on every subject. Now, God doesn't just drop it on you. He'd like to. You have to ask for it. Thou hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, to the ability to make decisions. Now watch this, because this is interesting. The first part of this verse, God says, he's referring to the king, and he says, you didn't ask, look at this, you didn't ask for riches, or you didn't ask me to kill your enemies. If you had three wishes from God, what would they be? That would tell us a lot about you, wouldn't it? Most people will ask for money. But there is something. Remember this. The man knows not the price of it. So God says, no. The king says, well, God, what I'm after is, I don't want money. I want understanding. I'm not asking you to wipe out my enemies. I'm asking you for understanding. And so in the next verse, look at this, because you ask for this and not the money and not the wiping out of your enemies, but because you have asked for understanding, I'm going to give you understanding. And because of understanding, in the next verse, you'll have lots of money. Let me tell you something, folks. Don't ever think that God intended poverty. God is a blesser. The devil wants you poor, but God doesn't want you poor. Now, that's not to castigate or degrade people of mere or meager financial ability. It's just saying God doesn't want you there. God's a blesser. In fact, the scripture says that he gives us the power to create wealth. So, make sure you get this straight. But see, most people, when we come to God with our request, we ask for the end. I'll take the money, God. But this man asked for understanding. Because you ask for understanding, let me tell you something. Because, and maybe it's going to be next Sunday, not sure, or maybe Wednesday night, but we're going to cover the levels of understanding. What do you need to understand? What's the substance of all this understanding? Okay? So we're going to categorize from Scripture and prioritize what we need to understand. And you'll discover that one of the things is you need to understand biblical views of economics. And so what? You got to ask. And be careful what you ask for, somebody said, because you put value in what you get. You can also get some understanding from listening to godly older people. Now, watch this. With the ancient is wisdom. Now, obviously, this is sometime before you die. But, you know, if you're ancient, you're not dead yet, or you're not going to be able to give your wisdom. But you know what? I'm reading Benjamin Franklin lately. And he's long dead, but he's sure still passing on his wisdom. With the ancient is wisdom, and in the length of days, understanding. Isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting that this society and its academic world wants children, that their desire for children is to put children in with other children? When in fact, in formal, historic, classical education, the idea is to put your child with a tutor who was an adult in understanding. The founding fathers, wasn't their idea to turn children over to other children? The idea, it's the childhood pattern of genius. Show me a child who hangs out with adults, and I'll show you a child who is socially, educationally, mentally, emotionally more mature than others of his own age. That's why we're strong believers in homeschool here. Because we happen to think that kids can get more from their parents than they get from the kids at school and the educators at the school. With the ancient is wisdom, and with length of days is understanding. Now, you get it, understanding from being present. In the sanctuary. Now, I'm not referring necessarily to only religiously. My wife and I had this discussion because she was raised in Catholicism. And she went regularly as a child, even when her parents didn't. And she had a devotion to the Lord that she didn't even understand. And even the services were all in Latin. You know, we know everybody goes in, sits down for 32 minutes, comes out, and they don't understand anything they've heard. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying to you that God is saying that there is a sanctuary, a place. Now, let me define sanctuary for a moment. Because the word sanctuary discriminates. The word sanctuary separates the function of a place to the exclusion of a whole lot of other things. The tragedy of the modern sanctuary is to begin to include in sanctuary what should never get in here. Are you here? There are sounds that should never be heard in sanctuary. There are visual images that should never be seen in the sanctuary. There are ideas that don't belong in the sanctuary. Otherwise, it will not be sanctuary. There will not be sanctity. There will not be sanctification. There will not be, that word simply means, there will not be a place where the function is set apart from other functions. I don't want us to have services that resemble a rock and roll event down at the Astrodome. I don't want stuff going on in here that if it belongs anywhere, it certainly isn't here, it's out there. I want us to be able to come here in the honest, holy pursuit of God. Committed to exclude while we're here the intrusion of secularism and humanism and religious ardor. This is to be sanctuary. God designed sanctuary. Just because it has sanctuary on the door doesn't mean it's a sanctuary. What makes sanctuary is that the functions that go on inside it are what belong there, and the functions that don't belong there aren't there. Otherwise, it isn't sanctified, set apart. One of the primary four reasons for sanctuary is to get understanding. We come here, obviously, to worship God. But we come here to get understanding. To seek out a place where when you leave enlightened, uplifted by content, by substance, by knowledge of the holy, by getting wisdom and understanding. I don't know what you think. I know what some of you think of what we do here, and I am gratefully in receipt often of positive comments and I appreciate that. I personally, but to see that, what I want you to get here is this is not about me. This church is not about me. This church is about Jesus. It's about getting the written word and the incarnate word to the highest levels possible. And if there is any reason to esteem this place called sanctuary, it is not because of our smoke and mirrors and sounds and displays. And it has got to be esteemed because it's a place where the Word of God is sacred. Understanding should come from the sanctuary. And then understanding comes from doing God's commandments. Take a look at the verse. I'm going to spend a moment on this. Good understanding have all they that do his commandments. Now, I want you to get this now. There are some things you will never understand until you do them. Did you get that? You know, our tendency is, God, you help me understand it, and if it seems reasonable to me, then I'll do it. God says, no, you do it, and then you'll understand it. You know, you understand the difference between those two? Uh-huh. I remember back when I spent so many days of the year on the streets. I spent 7 years of my life on streets preaching. Every day, except Monday. And Sundays, I was usually in a church. Tuesday through Saturday, I was preaching usually morning to night, lots of times, sometimes. And it was interesting to see McGill University in the news lately. One of my most exciting moments was on McGill University campus, where they have this thing called the bullpit there. A bunch of seats arranged in a circle. I mean, you're absolutely surrounded with students stacked up high to the ceiling. And you're the center down there at this little, and they can ask you any question, and they're obviously the intent is to embarrass every speaker that can. I remember oh so much divine help there. I had several of these, but my last one was a truck. And 24 feet at the side wall, the truck folded down into an open air stage. We set that thing up on beaches and tourist areas, camps, main streets. Sometimes they block the main streets off or some downs. And we'd sing, gather a crowd, preach, give altar calls. And I remember, you just get tired, you know. Just get tired. I remember somebody, who's in Quebec City lately? Somebody. I know who's in Quebec City lately. One of the greatest meetings was right within eyesight of the Chateau Frontenac Hotel. There's a little park there. In fact, that meeting, we were there for 4 or 5 nights, led to an invitation to St. Anne de Beaupré. We set our open age stage outside the St. Anne Cathedral. I remember closing up. It was a hard job closing up. You got to put all the equipment away. And on that first rig, we had to lift the side door up. It was, and we're closing up, and I look over, and there in the shadows, leaning against the tree, is a young man who's heard what we said, but just hanging out, alone. And it's like God says, David, I want you to go talk to him. And God, I'm tired. I don't feel like it. And I remember what God said to me. If you'll go, you'll feel like it. And I learned something that night. See, I want the feelings in order to do something. God says, no, you go and I'll give you the feelings. So I didn't have the feelings. I just walked over to that young man. I wasn't into our conversation for 45 seconds when I got the feelings. It was like Power came on me. It was like anointing came on me. And even after they're all closed up, I was still there another hour dealing with that young man about his soul. Not because I was doing the drudgery of duty, although that's commendable. But see, there's a lot of things God says. We say, God, you do this and I'll do that. And no, God says, you do it and then I'll do it. Understanding is a lot like that. We say, God, you help me comprehend this and I'll do it. God says, no, here's my commandments. You do it. When you do it, then you get understanding afterwards. It's almost like, you know, you want the best way to, learn your science is to get in the science lab and, you know, sit there at the desk with the water and when the teacher comes around with the glass of potassium and a beaker and gives you your share of potassium, if those of you have been there, or sodium works almost as good, not as good as potassium, you take that beaker, put a little water in there, and then dump the potassium in there, and you are in for an education. And you will not forget what happened. You will see before your own eyes minerals catch fire by touching water. So you don't see, there's stuff you have to do before you can figure it out. So it is. God says, good understanding. Have all they. Now look, I want you to get it. All they. If you do the commandments, you will get it. It happens to everybody who does the commandments. It doesn't. This is not about 10 people doing the commandments and one person gets the understanding. Everybody who does the commandments will get understanding. It comes from meditation and God's testimonies. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Let me ask you a couple of simple questions here. Whose testimony do you trust? Let me ask it again. Whose testimonies do you trust? Do you really trust the testimonies of all the television commercials you see? Really? Do you really trust the testimony of your coworker who tells you what a good night he had when he got stoned out of his mind? Whose testimony do you trust? Testimonies are the primary selling mechanism. That's how you sell stuff. And in fact, I'm a hard sell. Well, some things. I don't know how many tapes I have been given with testimonies on about products that were supposed to cure everything under the sun. Not hard to come up with testimonies when the guy who's given the testimony gets paid a commission. I don't know. Let me not impute wrongfully anything to all that, but let me tell you something. You need to be careful whose testimony you listen to. We've gotten to the place because we are market-driven. Remember, listen to this now. The love of money is the root. Of all evil. You could almost get a guy now to go on tape and say, hey, you know, every morning I get up and I took a fried egg and put it on my forehead. And my cancer went away. Don't go do that, all right? It's not my testimony. And you'll sell eggs and tape. You see, he that answers a matter before he has investigated the whole, to him it is shame and folly. Whose testimony do you trust? That's really important. I want to suggest to you that you can trust the testimonies of God. This book has laws, statutes, precepts, testimonies. I'm just trying to think, law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimonies of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. Commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Fear of the Lord is clean. There are testimonies in here. God has included in his word testimonies. You want to listen closely to the testimonies that God has compiled. Want to know David's testimony? The whole story. You want Daniel's testimony? And Samson? And Jehu? Want to know the testimonies of the Lord. Watch us now. You'll have more understanding than your teachers because these testimonies are your meditation. You follow that? You see, we're at my number. Oh, my word. Here comes the new year. Now, we talked about precepts a moment ago, keeping the precepts. I have more understanding than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. Let's look at another verse. Through thy precepts I get understanding. And therefore, I hate every false way. 8. You get understanding from the entered into us word of God. I didn't know how to verbalize it any better than that. But it isn't the word that's in this book that counts so much as the word that's in this book that gets into you that counts. Everybody with me now? The entrance of thy word giveth light. It gives understanding to the simple. And so, watch this now. It is from getting the words of God into, from the entered into words of God. You get understanding. The entrance of thy word give light, and it gives understanding to the simple. That's why I include this next verse, because here's what David did. Wow. And he panted, for I long for thy commandments. When you get understanding, you long, you ache. You turn off the television, put on the iPod, or you put on the scriptures on the DVD, or I got to get some more, I got to get some more. I long for thy commandments, like Job's, more than my necessary. Then you get understanding from learning the book of Proverbs. There are a number of books of the Bible that are particularly geared toward understanding. Proverbs is one of them. This is the opening verse here. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David. And the purpose that they were written is so that you would know wisdom and instruction, and that you would be able to perceive, to be able to tell the difference in the words you hear, that they come out of understanding, and to perceive the words of understanding. The book of Proverbs, 31 chapters. You should read one chapter every day of the month and then start over again. And you should do that for a number of years. This is the curriculum for families. This is what you want to teach your children. If you're going to teach your children, you need to teach it to yourself. Best way I know is train up a child in the way you should go and go that way yourself. Go that way yourself. The book of Proverbs is where you get understanding. It was written to give us understanding on matters relating to morals, on matters relating to marriage, on matters relating to work ethic. I mean, you name it. I mean, it's just adds of subject. In fact, one of the most fun projects you can do is to reorganize the whole book of Proverbs into categories. Find every verse that has to do with work. Find every verse that has to do with slothfulness. Lying. I mean, that's where you're going to get understanding, from learning the book of Proverbs. From applying your heart. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear to wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. You need to apply your heart. That means this is not merely an academic process, although it is academic, but not merely so. It means applying your heart. Because what you're going to learn when you get... Remember where understanding comes from. Comes from God, right? Let me give this to you again. There is a spirit in man, but the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. He puts it in your spirit. It becomes a function of your heart. And there will be times when you will be able to follow your heart and not your head, because the heart has reasons that reason knows not of. And so God is developing a people who will apply their hearts to understanding and give their souls to the pursuit of this. If there's something superlative on this planet to which one should invest his time, his talent, and his treasure, it is in getting understanding, which is to have a knowledge of the holy. Hallelujah. Oh, I love him. I want him. I haven't got enough of him yet. My soul longs for him. I want, oh God, give us your word. Fill us, oh God. Apply our hearts to understanding. Now, I want you to see something in the scripture. You cannot apply your heart. Notice this, so that here. You cannot apply your heart to understanding unless you do this first part. You do this. Number one, you got to receive his words. And then you got to hide the commandments inside you so that you can apply your heart to understanding. So that you can incline your ear to wisdom. If you're ear is not inclined to wisdom, and your heart is not applied to understanding, how do you change it? What do you have to do in order to get your ear inclined and your heart to apply? You just start receiving his words. Stop arguing with God. Stop the debate. Receive his words, and when you get them, oh, cling to them, hide them, hold them. And what will happen as a result of receiving and hiding the commandment is your ears will begin to hear what they could not have heard before. And your heart will begin to do what until now it has been too stubborn to do. Oh my. How many have I gotten? 25. 27. Shall we try to get to the halfway mark? From seeking, searching, and crying out. It doesn't come to the casual, understanding does not come to the casual pursuer. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and yea, if thou liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest for her like other people seek for silver, if you search for her as other people do for hidden treasures, then shall thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For then, for the Lord gives wisdom, and out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. In case there is somebody in the room who is a doubter, let me talk to you for a moment. Let me coin your question in the words of Scripture. Listen to the words. Canst thou by searching find out God? Ask the question. And I want you to know the answer. Canst thou by searching find out God? Yea, if you seek me, ye shall find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And then the Scripture goes on and says, first believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that, say it again, diligently seek him. Are you understanding? Seeking, searching, crying out. And you get it from trusting the Lord. Who do you trust? Excuse me. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. You do not want to go through life limited by doing only what you understand. You want to do according to an understanding that is far above or human, though dignified, intended to be esteemed level. You want to live your life according to the understanding of the designer who designed it. It's amazing how many people will hear an instruction from the Bible and they have their own idea on the other side of the weigh scale. Huh? And guess what? Because that happens 500 times a day. You know that. Here's the scale. And here are the ways of God. And if you put trust over on this side, you get what this can give you. Watch now. Watch this. The less trust you put in your own understanding on this side, the more you put on this side. Now watch the scripture on the screen. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Watch now. And lean not unto your own understanding. Now watch the rest of this now. On the screen. In all thy ways. In all thy ways. In all thy ways. In all thy ways. Acknowledge him. And he will direct your path. Amen.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.